Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this is Entrepreneur Magazine's radio show, and we are looking, searching, trying our best to find interesting entrepreneurs for you. Stories that resonate. Things that light your fire. We're trying to get you guys jazzed up about being in business for yourself. And because, you know what? That's me. I'm an entrepreneur. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I found one, though. We were on my other radio show. I do a couple radio shows. I do this radio show for Entrepreneur Magazine. And I love it because I meet founders and CEOs and true entrepreneurs. And I do this other show that I've been doing for 25 years. It is called The Drive with Alan Taylor. It's a car guy radio show. And I've been doing it because it started out as Motor Trend Magazine's radio show. And then I moved over to Car and Driver. Then I moved back to Motor Trend. And then here and there. And I decided, all right, to heck of that. I'm just going to be an entrepreneur and do my own show. So that show is called The Drive with Alan Taylor. You can find it if you're a car guy and you like car talk. But this show is about the entrepreneurs out there and some of their stories that will inspire you to take a great idea, like our guest, his name is Mark Gorlin. He took a great idea, something, you know, that was happening to him in his life that he thought, God, I wish there was something like this. And he did it. And he's going to talk about it right now. The product is an app. It's an app-based shipping community. It's called Roadie. Roadie.com, R-O-A-D-I-E.com. And Mark, I want you to tell the story of, you've told it on my other show and I know it and it's funny. So I want you to tell me how the thing came about where you invented this amazing opportunity for people to make money and get their stuff shipped faster than waiting for the, you know, traditional way of shipping. Go for it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah.
So I'm Mark, and I live in Atlanta, and I had this personal issue. I have a condo down in Florida, a place on the Gulf Coast called Perdido Key, and a developer didn't put pans underneath the master bathroom shower in the building. Somebody's unit leaked into like six units. Huge pain. So you have to rip the whole thing out. I said, hey, I'll make it nicer, and I'll put up tile. So it's Thursday in February. It's tile day. Very excited. So I'm going to take the drive down to Atlanta, down to Florida, supervised tile day. I get to Montgomery, Alabama, have lunch, get back in my truck, and I get a call from Glenn, the tile guy. Now, Glenn's from UCLA, and that's not out near you on the West Coast. That's the upper corner of lower Alabama. And he doesn't talk like me or you.
UCLA, call, upper corner, lower Alabama. Okay.
And the call literally goes like this. He's like, hey, Mark, this is Glenn. That bullnose tile done shown up broken as shiznit. Ain't going to be here till overnight delivery, which is on Monday. And I'm like, Glenn, first of all, overnight delivery is Friday, not Monday, it's Thursday, but I am going to get nowhere with Glenn on this.
Right.
So I said, where is the tile? He said it's in Birmingham, which is about an hour and a half north of Montgomery. I said, well, find out. I hang up. I'm irritated. I'm sitting at the overpass of I-65 in Montgomery, Alabama, and I look left. I see all these cars going south, and I look right. And I see all these cars going north, much like all your listeners see right outside their windows right now. And I think to myself, there's bound to be somebody leaving Birmingham right now heading to Montgomery. I was like, surely they'd put a box of tile in their trunk. I'd give them $20. They're going this way anyway. There's probably someone leaving Birmingham and going all the way down to the beach, and I can already be like sitting in the sand by that point in time. And that's when it hit me that there's this unbelievable, untapped transportation heat map out there, almost our last great natural resource, which is where everybody is driving already.
Right.
They're going across town, across the country, you know, a couple states over. You got more vehicles than UPS, FedEx, and the post office combined, and it allows you to match up people or businesses with stuff to send with folks already going in that direction. So you're helping a member of the community by going where you're already going, by doing what you were already going to do anyway.
And this is neighbors helping neighbors based on people just driving back and forth that could be delivering stuff. And you know what's great about Mark's story is that he's already got closing in on 60,000 drivers nationwide. There's an opportunity for you out there. I mean, because I'm going to be signing up. We're going to hear his story and some of the challenges that he had to overcome, but some of the amazing partners he has now. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We're going to hear Mark's story on the other side. Stay with us.
tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this is called Free Ride. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you had something to deliver and you wanted to get it as close to free as possible, as fast as possible. But you know what it takes to have FedEx and UPS and all those guys do it? It's costly. I sent a letter the other day overnight, and it was like $185. I was like, this is a letter. Mark Gorlin has figured out something that is just brilliant. It's an app. It is Roadie. It's an app-based shipping community. He launched it in 2015, and they have, is it closing in, or do you have 60 or over 60,000 drivers nationwide? What is it, Mark?
We have over 60,000 registered drivers nationwide. We have drivers in every state, and not just the big NFL cities, small towns alike.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, we delivered a couch from somewhere in a small town in West Virginia up to a small town in Maine. Nowhere which we've marketed, but just because people are going to and from everywhere to everywhere else all the time, all these, even these smaller towns, get to enjoy it because they're on the way there. They're in between.
Now, because I interviewed him on my other show, I do a show called The Drive with Alan Taylor. It's a car show, and I thought this is so perfect because people that drive a lot, that, you know, a lot of truck drivers listen to the different shows that I do, but for sure the car show, because, you know, when you're a truck driver for a living, you got to love driving. And so I think for truck drivers, this is probably pretty attractive too, because they're going, do you actually deal with any truck drivers that are going somewhere? A little extra money there?
Sure. There's folks everywhere from big truck drivers to people in box trucks that are constantly going, usually up and down the East Coast, although we've had some road trips across the country as well. Mm. And it's very easy for them to put grandma's chair in the cab with them and take it to where they're going, or an extra couch. I mean, everybody's looking to fill up loads. And, you know, historically it's been, you have to get it from, you know, big retailers or big folks that have pallets to send, but you're sort of getting to where there's a lot of people wanting to send stuff that's smaller, and folks are happy to take it. If it costs, their frictional cost is pretty much zero because they're going there anyway. So
right.
They get paid for taking the same trip they were already in.
Right. You told me a story about Delta, and I thought, wow, that's a big client.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was also pretty awesome because if you think about how airports work, you know, all the airlines, you know, occasionally they mishandle a bag. So they have a lot of bags at the airport
that need
to get out in the surrounding neighborhoods and communities. But what else do you have at the airport? You got pilots and passengers and flight attendants and bag handlers and the guy that works at Hertz and the lady that works at Burger King. This whole community of people that are constantly leaving the airport, going out into those same adjoining neighborhoods and communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we just put the two together have sort of revolutionized. You know how it used to take anywhere from 6 to 10 plus hours to get your bag. Now you're getting it everywhere we are in 2.5 hours, and you can track it the whole way. And I think it just makes it a better experience for everybody. At least that's what everybody keeps telling us.
Now, what were you doing beforehand? I mean, what business were you in that gave you the courage to even launch out and do Roadie? Roadie.com, by the way, everybody. What were you doing?
Well, I get it, honestly, probably from my dad, because he started companies all while growing up. And he taught me this lesson. He goes, Marge, don't get a job, find a deal. So I've sort of done this. This is my fifth company. My one prior to this is a company called Cabbage with a K, which allows small businesses to go online and get instant funding in 7 minutes or less, much more quickly than all the banks that don't really want to lend us.
Come on.
Businesses.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I talked to Barbara Corcoran about this last year. She's on the cover of last month's issue of the magazine at Entrepreneur Magazine.
Absolutely. Rob, Catherine, and I started Cabbage back in end of 2008, beginning of 2009.
Oh, my God. And Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank was working with you guys, right?
It wasn't Barbara. It was Lori Grenier.
Oh, was that who it was?
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's right. That's exactly what it was. Anyway, one of those sharks. But here's
all sharks. Start to look and sound alike after a while.
That's exactly. They got money. They're spending it. You know, it's all right. Okay. Question for you though. I mean, a big thing having an app like that. So you already had a little bit of, well, you had a lot of knowledge of the app world and the electronic business world, you might say, because this undertaking is, first of all, it's brilliant, but it was no small task, right?
Oh, it's incredibly hard. I honestly kick myself because I'm like, financial services, I don't want to like start one of those again. That's really hard. And then I all of a sudden wind up in a pot of logistics, which is equally as difficult and complex. Mm. But the real issue of this business is a marketplace. It's like eBay, Airbnb, and UPS spun together in a bucket, because you've got to create this on-the-way delivery network, which is our North Star. You've got to have deliverability everywhere. You're a crappy delivery company if you can't get stuff delivered. So you have to have deliverability. To have that, you've got to have a lot of engaged drivers.
I love it. I love it. Hold tight. I'm going to find out. I want to know about some of these challenges and how you overcame them, because really, at the end of the day, that's what makes you a really good entrepreneur, is overcoming challenges. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. Mark Gorlin, Roadie.com. Be right back.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're talking with Mark Gorlin. He is the founder and CEO of Roadie, an app-based shipping community. He launched it back in 2015, and now they have over 60,000 drivers nationwide. You could be one, or you could be like Mark Gorlin. I just found out in the last segment that he also started another company, Cabbage with a K, which I'm really super impressed now. I thought you were just a workaday Joe, but you are evidently a brilliant dude. And by the way, I cut you off on the last segment. You were making a good point. I forgot what it was. Do you remember where we were?
Yeah, I was just talking. You're talking about like the beginning part of some of the challenges. I mean, yeah. To have an on-the-way delivery app, your North Star has got to be, you know, people going there anyway. But to get there, you've got to have deliverability. To get there, you've got to have active, engaged drivers everywhere. And to get there, and what we learned is, I mean, you've got to feed them or they will attrite and go away. So you've got to be able to have a steady state of demand everywhere. And so what we found early on, where we see over time lots of, you know, regular folks sending consumery stuff back and forth, getting a lot of retailers and corporate organizations that have a lot of sending needs every day is a good first step for us to make sure there's deliverability everywhere, and then everything else falls behind that. Mm. The path that, you know, you might think you're going to take up front isn't necessarily, it just changes what order you go in. And that's not a big deal. That happens all the time. Mm. You're sort of always in a state of chaos to some degree. You can go from great euphoria to fear in an instant. But being able to deal with that's part of the trick.
Now, all right, here's my question for you about challenges. What is the biggest, nastiest challenge you had to overcome that you thought you weren't going to even make it? Was there one of those?
Oh, gosh, there's some of those all the time. I mean, it just depends. And they seem small the days after, but then they don't.
I mean, building that app must have been just monumental.
No, technology isn't hard. You hire smart people and that sort of stuff happens. It's really hard to convince big companies to try something new out. You've got this idea, and I can say it, and you can say it's smart, and 10 other people can say it's smart. But to actually get people to do it and change their behavior, I think that's the thing. Figuring out, there's people who know me who have need to send a table across town and are sitting there and didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, dude, actually, this is a great, great story. There's a guy that runs a lot of innovation for the post office. I see him at all these conferences. I keep trying to figure out what to do with Roadie and the postal service. I think that would be cool if you could get your stuff dropped off. And finally, at one conference, at a cocktail party, he's like, you know, I'm trying to buy these dodecahedron speakers off of eBay, but they're in West Virginia and I'm in Michigan. I don't know how to get them here. I'm like, dude, have you even heard what we do? Go put them up there. Try it out. He goes, how much? I'll put it in the app right now. The conference is over. You don't talk to anybody. Like 2 weeks later, I get a text from a number I don't know. It turns out to be him. It's a picture of these dodecahedron speakers, like old school 70s style, in his living room. And he said, "Speakers are here. I'm a believer."
Wow, that's cool, man. That is cool. All right, here's a question. Best tips and advice for entrepreneurs?
Is go. Every day, if you've got an idea and you're starting something, I don't care if you're setting up your email, buying your domain names, do something every day. Just go. It's easy to get stuck in a fog of stuck and waiting on people, or this person that might have interest in investing, or this person that might sign a deal. Great, but don't pay attention to any of that. I think the other best advice that I give everybody here when you're trying to make decisions is what we say is like, okay, what's most important? And the callback answer is Rhody. So what's in the best interest of Rhody? And that often clarifies a lot of decisions that seem really hard at the time. But when you put it through that filter and put in your own business name, sometimes it makes it easier.
Mm. Do you know who sung "I'm a Believer"?
The Beatles?
I thought love was only true and fair.
The Monkees, brother!
Monkees.
All right. What are you most proud of? Me, I'm proud I found the Monkees over here just a minute ago, but go ahead.
I
stumped you, didn't I?
Nah, you did stump me. I wasn't expecting musical trivia. I've never heard that. The thing I'm most proud of is, as much as whatever you're trying to build, it's the team that you put together, because those are the folks that you have to deal with 10-plus hours a day.
Right.
That you've got to be on the road with, that you've got to figure out the things that nobody cares about you. It's almost like, you know, you're in a foxhole together and the world's sort of against you. So it's the people inside that I'm most proud of, and the team that you assemble here. I always say, when we have like issues among the team here, I'm just like, the woodpeckers inside the boat can do more harm than the storm outside.
I don't care
about the competition and all that sort of stuff. We'll raise more money, we'll do better deals, we'll just execute better. But you got to have the people around you working well.
Man, fantastic. And you said, your buddy said, "I'm a believer." I found it, so I'm playing it for you, my friend. Mark Gorley.
I'm a believer.
That's right. Founder and CEO of Rhody, Rhody.com, R-O-A-D-I-E.com. Pure brilliance, brother. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Entrepreneur Weekly.
Then I saw her face.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Working with Entrepreneur Magazine is one of the greatest joys of my life. I get to meet so many amazing, amazing entrepreneurs. Great people like Dimitri Argyropoulos, founder and CEO of Avant Global. The interesting thing about Dimitri is, I had a little brief talk with him in the commercial break here. His company, very interesting, Relationship Equity, Strategic Capital, how to get the competitive advantage using all those things. I also read that Dimitri and his company have generated over $15 billion in value creation across a range of projects. Now, in that time, it is my guess that he has seen many founders and people in business make pitches and really screw them up. Have you seen a little of that, Dimitri?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've seen thousands of pitches, and many of them have been, you know, major passes. So.
Well, then let's bridge the gap. What advice would you give once somebody has screwed up an opportunity, lost perhaps the biggest opportunity of their life? Mm-hmm. Is it recoverable, or do mm-hmm. you just mm-hmm. move on? So that's kind of the question. Do you move on, or is it recoverable?
Well, I think you must augment. I mean, if it hasn't succeeded the first time, you know, I think it can't be too long. You know, if I give you an answer right now and it's too long, I'm going to lose you. So stay short to the point, simplify, create a picture of what you want to accomplish. Design the last scene of the film, if you want to use an analogy, and work backwards to present. You know, understand the big picture and be accurate and believable, you know, with science or with facts, and make it efficient, but leave me excited at the end when we're done.
There you go. No, and that's really important. If you can know when to what my I'm a mechanic. I'll tell you who it was. A mechanic friend of mine one time, we were having an argument, and he said, "I'll just shut the hell up." And I went, "What?" Mm-hmm. He says, "You're right. I'm wrong. I just need to shut up." And I always tell people, you got to know when to stop selling. Because if you say too much and you go too long, it's like the person's thinking, all right, shut up. I get it.
Yeah.
But they won't say that to you. They're going to sit there and start tapping their fingers and wishing you, I should shut up right now. Let's talk about, I just wanted to bridge the gap there, by the way. Let's talk about the currency of relationships. That is what the crux of our conversation is about now.
Yeah.
So where do we start?
Where do you start? I mean, you know, specifically, relationships are everything. I mean, you know, we started our company 19 years ago, and we've been building trust with the right people for 19 years. You just build it and build it. It's like rings on a tree. The deeper the roots, the higher the tree. So, you know, you just, if you build trust with the right people and you have a strict criteria of who you work with, then your currency of who you open doors with is extremely powerful.
Mm.
I think it's really important to have equal or greater value on both sides when you make an introduction in business. And if you don't have that, meaning you're just somebody's doing you a favor in essence otherwise, because it's got to be value. The value has to be equal or greater on both sides if you really want. And then as you do that, you know, you become more credible, and, you know, you are able to open more and more doors. So, and I think of it as depositing trust with people, you know. It's like a trust bank account, if you want to think of it like that. You know, you just deposit trust with people, and a lot of times you don't get anything for it because you're building credibility. And then as you deposit and deposit and deposit, then the right opportunity comes along and you can withdraw.
I like it. I want you guys should write this down because I know you're going to forget it like I have a number of times. I heard it once probably 4 or 5 years ago, relationship currency. My gosh, you know, strategic capital, relationship equity. I mean, these are such valuable things people use. It's like, you know, the word love. If you tell every single person that you meet, I love you, man. A friend of mine,
right?
He used to tell everybody, I love you, man. But then all of a sudden, the word I love you doesn't really mean a whole bunch.
Right.
So we use these words too often and then forget that they're very valuable words. So this one I'm going to call one of those really valuable words, the currency of relationships. People, you've got to take inventory of who you have in your life that you can create strategic capital with. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how you started in this, and when did you have that aha moment that you actually had currency of relationships?
Good question. I think I learned at a very young age really about trust starts with knowing the right people. You know, you really have to develop trust with certain people. You know, I can give you an example. I mean, it could be like Bill Clinton, for example. You know, Bill Clinton's met millions of people in his life. And, you know, in somebody that he met for 5 minutes, you know, you could say, hey, he's a friend of mine, and I've spent 5 or 10 minutes with him. And, you know, and then that person could introduce you to Bill Clinton. That person isn't going to carry any weight in terms of, you know, somebody that's very close to him or, you know, let's take a celebrity or whatever, you know, whoever it is. So it's important to make sure that the people that are introducing you to people and vice versa. And I would suggest never introduce people unless you know them well enough, because if you don't have a trusted relationship with them, then it can backfire on you.
Yeah. It's to this point exactly, because you can tell when somebody says about everybody, he's a really good friend of mine. And you know that they had that 5-minute conversation. That does not constitute the honesty right. that I'm looking for in the relationship with yeah. the guy that's telling me that white lie. I don't want any right. lie, not a white lie. I want transparency. Yeah. I met the guy for 5 minutes. We had a great conversation. Let me introduce you. Not, he's a really good friend of mine. I don't want a right. relationship.
So
I'm looking for these honest relationships in business. That right yep. there is what you're talking about in relationship yep. currency. All right, you hold on. We got to take a little break. I love where we're going with this because this is such a valuable thing to any entrepreneur. Relationship equity, strategic capital. Have the competitive advantage that you will have through having this kind of real, honest, transparent relationship that you can do amazing things with, just like Dimitri and Avant Global. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
We're talking with Dimitri Argyropoulos, founder and CEO of Avant Global, avantglobal.com on the web. I love all this talk about relationship equity and currency and strategic capital. It's relationships. I have made it through the worst of times economically when things were tough. The relationships are what kept it all alive for me. It wasn't because I had the best deal. It was because I was their friend. And friends goes a long way in business. Because you know what? It's like no man is a mountain. It takes a village. All that, you've heard it all before. Relationship capital. It's beautiful. Dimitri, you guys have seeded nearly 100 diverse startups. And you like to have a piece of the pie in there, which is interesting. You're not just in it for a commission and move on. You actually want to be an equity partner, which I think whatever. I don't know you well. I mean, I'm literally, we're just meeting and I'm already seeing that, man, you are like in it to win it. I love this. Talk about what you guys do and how you get involved.
Thanks. Maybe of course, we're principal investors in all of our deals, and we believe in companies that are, changing industries and disrupting markets quickly. And if we believe in the team that can execute, and we can believe which is where pitches come into play,
right.
Because you've got to really convey certainty that this is something serious. So on the startup side, that's very interesting, to make sure to have that, the right pitch. If you're creating a new business out of an existing business, then that's a different story, which we'll talk about later. But, we go after, we're industry agnostic, I would say. We obviously don't like to touch things that we don't feel comfortable, solve a serious problem in the world, we don't ethically connect with, or we don't believe there's too much regulatory risk.
Well, good for
you. Things that we're interested in are fintech, big data, AI, consumer products, medical device technologies, different things that, curative and definitive therapies around cancer. We work with Stanford University. We work with a number of other organizations as well to have access to technologies that are really game-changing. And we've been also co-founding over 10 companies as well.
Oh.
So, we've been at, as one of my professors at Harvard said years ago, he said, you're either at the table or on the menu.
Mm.
So I like that a lot because it's really important. If you have the right trust with the right people, you're able to be at the table and create value together because, you're completing an ecosystem. We're all good at certain things and we're all not good at certain things. And if we know what we're great at, and we focus on that, then we can create an incredible team and execute if we focus. So, so many businesses have so much more potential than they are currently achieving because they're not in alignment with their skills. And that's really how we build teams and create extreme competitive advantages when we invest in companies, by putting the right people together that truly create a dream team.
Mm. How do you go about identifying a startup or a company that has a competitive advantage? You talk about that a lot. What is it you're looking for? I mean, a spreadsheet, what are you looking at?
I mean, it's, you know, better technologies, it's, you know, customer access, it's the, obviously the, you know, the brand, it's really the people at the end of the day. It's really the relationships and it's really the people. I mean, they've created something that is very unique, and they have IP around it. It could be intellectual property. It could be who's backing them. Are there strategic investors backing them? And how strategic are they? It's the ability to execute. At the end of the day, you can have all the things on paper can be great. Great technology, great offices, great, you know, people are nice. You know, the strategic money's there. The IP's there, everything. But they don't unify and execute and deliver, and somebody else eats their lunch. So at the end of the day, it's people that have to work together to create, that advantage by unifying. A lot of times the competitive advantage is the people. And a lot of times it's also the formation of how you put those people together and how they're, and what the strategy is going to be. Mm. Really, to that they can really manifest and achieve their objectives that they're putting in the business plan for a startup. Or for any company, for that matter.
Now, when you look at these companies, though, are you looking at their financials and going, man, these guys could be kicking ass with our help? Or is it, you know, you said a lot right there, but at what point does it come down to the dollars and cents where you go, they're making a little bit, or they're losing money and we know we could help them? What is the tipping point for you where you just feel like this is the one? I mean, you guys are coming up on 100 companies that you've invested in.
Yeah, it's my experience in understanding people, you know, because I think of myself as part talent agent. You know, I identify and discover talent. You know, I think of that. And, you know, this is a guy who I believe, based on what I've heard, what I've seen, is going to be extremely successful and well-known for what he does in the world in terms of how he's disrupting the marketplace. Mm. And he makes so much sense that if he had the right team and I helped him build, you know, I've helped many successful CEOs who are moderately successful become more successful by building and helping bring the right teams together, you know, and helping them achieve their objectives.
Yeah.
Those are the people you bet on, you know, in a sense, you know. But that's kind of how I think of it as.
All right, hold tight. When we come back, we're going to ask you to put your professor's cap on and maybe give some great advice to entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs that want to make the jump. AVANTglobal.com, AvantGlobal.com. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm talking to my new friend, Dimitri Argyropoulos, founder and CEO of Avant Global. He says, we're not really open to the public, so, you know, you don't have to give out the website and all. I think that's great. You notice how I said, my new friend? I consider this kind of conversation the beginnings of a friendship. One man teaching another. I mean, it's the ripple effect. He'll change my life. Maybe I can change his. We don't know what we're going to do in our lives together. But at the end of the day, if we share our knowledge, our wisdom, our sage advice out into the world, we don't know what good will happen. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Be giving, be honest, be sharing. And I love that. And thank you for being with us today, Dimitri.
I think that's what life's about, being in service to others. It all comes back anyways.
Yep, it does. All right, so I got to repeat this. You said it, and I love it. You're either on the table or on the menu, and I think that is freaking
those aren't my words, by the way.
No,
they're my professor's words.
It's just so awesome, though. I'm gonna steal it. No, I won't.
Yeah.
But all right, it's time for you to put your professor's cap on and give some advice. You're a serial entrepreneur. You've seen it all. Maybe you could give a little advice on aspiring entrepreneurs.
You know, I think, you know, move thoughtfully through the, you know, jungle of ideas and pitches and entrepreneurship. It's a risky business, but don't be dissuaded by that, because this is America. We need to believe in our dreams, and we need to believe in our ideals, and we have the opportunity to do so much in this country, more than any other country in the world. And I think that if we move thoughtfully and efficiently and never stop learning, I think that's so important. I think, and, you know, I think Alan and I share a common trait that we both love learning. And if we're not learning every day, we don't feel alive. So I think that's such an important thing. And don't give up. You have a platform. If you believe in the platform, I mean, I've done this for 19 years. I've done the same thing, putting the right people together, creating value, building businesses. But I've plotted and schemed and strategized and adjusted my business model, you know, almost, you know, daily or monthly. I mean, it's essentially the same thing, but we are always adjusting to the way the world is evolving. But I have never changed my ideals and what I believed in from day one. And I think that that's really the key, is that, you know, stay true to what you believe in. If that's what you believe in, don't give up until you know that it's absolutely the right thing to do. And, you know, the world will also tell you that too.
Right. Yes,
but
it will.
Stay true to what you believe in, and it's okay to fail, and it's okay to get up again and do something even more exciting. So those are my sage thoughts.
You know what? and it's good. I will tell you, I'll add to that, because ditto to everything you said. I met some old folks one time that were married, and they must have been married. You know, my parents have been married 65 years. And I'm going to say that these people were married at least that long when I met them 25 years ago. And I said, they were holding hands. And I said to them, I said, you guys really love each other. And they looked at each other and smiled this most beautiful smile, like you know, I mean, God-inspired stuff. And I was so interested to know how they'd made it so long in life, because you're going to have partners in life and business. You're going to be married. I've been married 32 years, but with my wife 37 years. You're going to have these long relationships. And the guy said, I said, how do you make it so long? And the guy says, you wake up every day and you think, what can I do for that person today? And I thought to myself, man, that's so heavy. And then we forget these things, and then we have to be reminded again. So to me, that's what this show is about. That's what talking to Dimitri is about, or anybody that I have on the show, is just hearing these things again and reminding each other that we need to do things for each other. We need to look, how can we help our customer? It isn't about us every day. It's about, what can we do for others? And then guess what? If you want to grow your business, help somebody else grow theirs, and it'll come back to you in spades. It's the ripple effect, the pay it forward effect.
Yeah.
But, you know,
absolutely. Mentoring is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
So I certainly do. I love learning every day. And to me, to be paid to host a show like this, or to be involved with a magazine like Entrepreneur, a person like Dimitri, an entrepreneur, a person like the last guest and the next guest I'm going to have, entrepreneurs. To me, we are the ones that are a cut above for so many different reasons, because we have decided not to get stuck in the cubicle of life that we hate. We decided to pull that parachute and take a chance, you know? And Dimitri, thank you very much for being with us.
Right.
Great stuff. I think the one thing I'll leave everybody with is, remember your relationship currency. It does have a tremendous value. Dimitri is proof of that. All right, Dimitri, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Don't stop believing. Have
That's
a great day.
Exactly right. I'm Alan Taylor. We will see you next time right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.